south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. You know, the other day, I wanted to prove something to myself about the price of food here in Latin America. Oh, it's definitely cheaper than it is up by you, that's for sure. And there's more variety and more of it, too. But you see, I wanted to prove a point to some fresh green gringos that had landed down here. They've been maybe 3 months working on their plan B, getting settled and stuff. And still, they hadn't gone to one of those big outdoor markets. They were shopping for practically everything at the usual suspect stores. Costco, Walmart, Dispensa, Maxi Bodega, Tori. Those are just some of the names of the big Latin American supermarket chains that compete with Walmart and Costco, at least here in Central America. One thing about the local supermarket chains that have been down here a long time, well before Walmart, they try hard like Avis Rent-A-Car, but they just can't pull it off as far as cleanliness, lighting, and ergonomics, as compared with their first world competition. So they do the next best thing and have lower prices, which is why they continue to survive in the face of competition like Walmart. For example, there could be a Walmart right down the street from a big Latin American supermarket chain store. There often is, you know. And the Latin store will have almost the same stuff, yet it'll always be slightly lower in price than Walmart or the Costco, maybe 10%. Not much, but consistently a little less. Now, of course, when I first got down here 27 years ago, in fact, up to maybe 10 years ago, there were no U.S. supermarket chains, no Costco's, Walmart's, whatever, but there were plenty of Latin American supermarket chains. And no matter what size they were, big or small, they were always scruffy, badly lit with parts of the floor munged up, even missing tiles, horrendous bathrooms, and the traffic flow, the product placement, well, let's be kind and say haphazard, the very definition of third world. However, about 10 years ago, when Walmart and Costco first started entering the Latin market, now suddenly the local boys had some real competition. Even though the prices, like I said, were maybe 10% higher, U.S. stores like Walmart and Costco are built just like Walmart and Costco in the States. Plenty of lighting, nicely organized, big wide aisles, clean-looking shelving and displays designed by, well, specialists. Anyway, after the first world supermarkets landed, the local supermarket chains felt the hit. They figured in order to survive, they had to have to spiff up their images, so nowadays, you see plenty of Latin businesses trying to up their game. Though it only seems to last a season or two, then the scruffiness factor kind of creeps back in again. Hey, I don't mean to say Walmart, Costco, Sears, Ace Hardware are any great shakes, but it's something you can relate to, a piece of the first world that's been transplanted down here, and it's monotonous but consistent. So it's kind of a general rule, the scruffier the local Latin American supermarket, the lower the prices compared to the big first world chains. However, the mom-and-pop little corner tiendas that are sort of like 7-Elevens gone to seed, I mean really gone to seed, they too, like convenience stores up in the States, are a bit more pricey than the big supermarkets. That's why they call them convenience store. You pay a little extra for the convenience of them being right outside your neighborhood, so you don't have to get dressed up, make yourself presentable, jump in the car, and drive a couple of miles to one of the bigger supermarkets. Wait a minute, let me expand a little on that. Now, most guys, including me, won't dress up and make themselves presentable just to go to the store to buy something. Doesn't matter if it's a big supermarket or not. Not to mention, a guy's definition of presentable is a lot different than a woman's. So guys, straight guys anyway, will pop out to get something no matter what we look like. But ladies, especially Latinas, will spend an hour, sometimes more, getting made up just to run to the store for 10 minutes to pick up some eggs or some shampoo. Yeah, as if they might run into a Hollywood talent scout in a Shell station or tienda parking lot in Chichicastenango. Who knows, but this I can tell you. If you're down here in Latin America and do have a Latina significant other, she will not let you walk out of the house looking like a slouch, even if all you want to do is hit the corner tienda to buy a Sunday paper. Now, I don't know what it's like for couples up in the States, but down here, gringos are used to hearing that refrain, "You're not going out looking like that, are you?" Then she'll grab your face and start fixing your hair. Yep, that's what you'll have to look forward to, guys, if you have a Latina significant other. But we were talking about cost of living and price of foods in supermarkets and such, right? So anyway, this new gringo couple came down, started their plan B, been here a few months now, and never yet stepped out beyond the big supermarkets in the malls to go to those big open produce and fruit markets. By the way, they're called mercados here, mercados. And when I saw them one day, their car just stuffed with Walmart bags, I said, someday you really have to get out to the big market. Most all the stuff at Walmart costs about the same as it does in the States. Then the young gringo lady, she's 30-ish, said, oh no, Johnny, the fruits and vegetables and produce, that stuff's about half of what we pay for it in Atlanta. We're pretty happy about that. But you're right, she said, if I want to buy some of the same brand name stuff at the Walmarts up in the States, it's about the same price. Now, Latin Walmarts and Costcos here in Latin America carry nearly identical stuff as the ones up in the States, but they do carry a lot of locally produced stuff too. Fresh produce, of course, but much more than that. For example, you'll find locally made hot sauce, honey, coffee, baked goods, butcher shop products, and that locally made stuff will always be cheaper than the imported brand names. All right, full disclosure here. I have a Costco card, and I go to Walmart once in a while if I have to pick up something like stevia or sea salt, which is something the little corner tiendas and big mercados will never have. Oh, and you might remember in a past show I mentioned there are Whole Foods clones, too. For my money, they're bogus and way overpriced, just like Whole Foods in the States. I wouldn't go there. So, I do almost all of my food and produce shopping at those big, giant mercados. For me, if I go there and spend $40, that'll hold me for 2 weeks for sure. You just can't carry all of that yourself. You have to hire one of those little porters to help you. Yep, when you go to one of those big mercados, you want to stock up on as much stuff as you can at one time. So it's worth your while to hire one of those guys. Besides, you got the guy for probably a whole hour and you only have to pay him $1 to $1.50 for the privilege. I always ask him what he wants to charge. Give me a price. And he does, and I pay it. And if he's a nice guy, tip them. But back to our newbie gringo couple who haven't been to one of those big markets yet. Then I said, that's one of the great things about Latin America, those gigantic markets. When I asked them why they hadn't gone, well, they both looked at each other and the gringa said, I don't know, it's just so big and crazy in a scruffy part of town and we don't speak any Spanish. Well, you know, that says it all. And I know just how they feel because when I first got down here to Latin America, I felt exactly the same way. Of course, back then there were practically no U.S. franchises in all of Latin America except McDonald's. But lots and lots of mom and pop corner tiendas and Latin-style supermarkets. All of them, as mentioned, pretty scruffy. Or I should say, when they're new, they're nice and spiffy like anything new, but after about 6 months or a year, they all kind of degenerate. At least they did back then. Before the Walmarts, TGIFs, Gold Gyms, and Applebee's started moving in. So, in a way, I knew exactly what they were feeling. I'd been through it myself. Those big, even small mercados, there are small ones around here, too. Though for a long time, I would never venture in those places either. Not so much because they're chaotic and in run-down, scruffy areas. That doesn't bother me, and it shouldn't bother you, because during the day, most areas of Latin America are perfectly safe. Especially where there's a mercado. Those places are always safe and self-policing. My problem, as the gringa lady pointed out, was that my Spanish sucked probably worse than hers did. It's an awkward feeling we just can't get across a simple point to someone. I've been there 1,000 times. Now, of course, if you're on the gringo tourist trail, they'll have big outdoor mercados too. So when you shop there, you'll see gringos. And many, if not most, the sellers will know enough English to be able to work things out with you. But again, when you're on the gringo tourist trail, the local sellers in the mercado charge what the gringo traffic will bear, so prices will always be much higher elsewhere where gringos are scarce. And this you can take to the bank. Did I say take to the bank? They have to get rid of that saying. It doesn't work anymore, does it? Whatever fruits, vegetables, and produce you buy in a Walmart or a Costco, they'll be half that price or less at one of the big or small outdoor markets. I've proved that to myself over and over again. For example, last time I was in a Walmart, they had Hass avocados around $1.50 a pound. That'll get you 2 nice-sized avocados. And at your average Walmart up in the States, they're about twice that. However, in those big open mercados, the kind I go to about every 2 weeks, I can routinely buy three or four for a buck, and often five or six for a buck. Take watermelons, for example. At Walmart, a medium-sized job will run you $3. In the big mercado, $1 to $1.50. That's the breakdown for practically all the fresh produce. So definitely, if you shop in the big mercados down here, you'll pay a quarter or less of what you're paying for the same stuff up in the States. Oh, and they sell much, much more than that in the big markets, and that stuff's always a lot cheaper than, say, the local hardware store. So why is that stuff so cheap? Well, they've got no overhead. They don't have a store. They don't have to pay taxes. No electric or water bill. No cash registers. For example, my remote for my TV, which is an LG, hit the tile floor one too many times and gave up the ghost. Went to the local hardware / electronics store. $6 to $8 for a real LG brand, not one of those universal jobs, the real thing. Meanwhile, in the big mercado, there's a guy with all kinds of electronic junk. iPhone and Android connectors and covers, batteries, rechargers, keyboards, speakers, cables, electrical outlets, walkie-talkies, gaming stuff. Well, he's got the same LG remote as the electronics store for $2, less than half of what they charge at a retail electronics store. So here's further proof you can live the good life here in Latin America on a measly Social Security check. Not to mention you'll be thousands of miles away from the time vampires, a-holes, the treadmill, and the stress. Well, the moral of the story is that most people who come down here permanently, that is, they start their plan B off in a Latin country, they still try to cling to what's comfortable, like Walmart and Costco. Even Starbucks, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried, and all that gut-wrenching first-world junk food. And you know, I live way off the gringo tourist trail, and I've never yet met a single gringo expat who said living here in Latin America wasn't significantly cheaper than living up in the States. Even if they were somewhat on the gringo tourist trail and had a hankering to shop at Walmart, Costco, and other places where they could pick up a lot of the gringo products they were used to up in the States. So you could say there's living cheap without sacrificing anything, and there's living cheap paying gringo prices. Because the truth is, many times, gringo prices aren't actually gringo prices at all. It's just a name people give to prices that are obviously higher than what the locals pay for stuff. Good example, when you go to a nice hotel, you might be ecstatic when you walk in and you see the room rates are $75 a night. Man, you're probably thinking a hotel like that would cost twice as much up in Boston. Yep, the sign says $75 a night, including breakfast. Most gringos pay it and are happy to do so. However, if you hang around the lobby and you speak Spanish and you keep your eyes open, you might notice Latin people who walk in generally won't pay the rack rate written right on the little sign at the front desk. They'll say something like, ¿Cuál es su mejor precio? What's your best price? And man, I've seen it myself many times. Suddenly, a $75 a night rack rate becomes $55 or even $45. Now, I know gringos and expats are not used to haggling, especially fresh green gringos and expats. They see the price on an item. If it sounds good, they pay. And you know, it always shocks me when I see hotel rates on the internet. Many times they're twice as high as what you'd pay if you contacted the hotel directly yourself. But booking things on the net these days seems to be the way to go for gringos and expats up in the States. Somehow they think if they search long and hard enough, they'll get the best deal. Not necessarily so. Even worse, if you're up in the States searching the web for rentals in a particular place in Latin America. At this point in time, there's such an oversupply of medium and high-end housing, it's becoming a tremendous renter's market. Though you wouldn't know it if you searched around for rentals on the net. Why? Well, because a lot of owners are fishing for gringos who will pay those higher prices, because they still look like good deals compared to rental prices up in the States. But I'm here to tell you right now, they're still overbuilding. There are projects going up I'm sure will never get finished. And 95% of it's in the medium to high end, just where gringos and expats want to rent or buy. Except, chances are, if you're in a new or brand new subdivision, you'll probably not have many neighbors. Which is why my best advice for renting is find five or six places you like. Better yet, if you're in Central America, talk to one of my expat concierge ladies. She'll search out some properties for you. So when you visit, you'll be all set to check out a few places. The doors will be open. That's one tip, but my best tip, I think, is you find five or six places. Let's say they're all going between $800 and $1,200 a month. Well, you give them all a low ball offer. If it was me, I'd say 600. And remember, the closer you get to the Gringo Tourist Trail, the higher prices will be. Anyway, you politely tell each and every one of the owners, or whoever's taking you through, you're going to pay $600 a month. But of course, they'll turn your offer down. In fact, they might even huff and act a little insulted. Nevertheless, give them your name and email and tell them, look, if you're interested, give me a call. Because I have cash and I'll pay 6 months ahead or a year ahead, whatever. And it's either you or someone else who's going to get my money. Remember, it's cash. Then just leave and wait a couple of days. The phone calls will trickle in. In fact, I personally held the hands of a few gringos and expats going through the process, and I've seen owners asking $800 a month drop their price to $400. In fact, just last week, I was visiting a gringo in a relatively new gated guarded community. He told me that just on his block of five pretty nice townhouses, three were unoccupied and up for rent. Oh, and remember, if you come down to my January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar, you'll see those kind of details with your own eyes. Because we spend a whole day on real estate, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. Since this show's going out on December 10th, we're about a month away from the seminar launch. You still have time to get on board, and if you want to kill two birds with one stone, that is, come to the seminar and apply for your permanent or temporary residency in Guatemala. Remember, it's one of the easiest, cheapest, and most lenient residency programs in all of Latin America. At least for now, anyway, though they're all slowly getting more strict about their requirements. So you have to act soon before these windows of opportunity just aren't there anymore. To do that, go to the newexpat.com website and check out the seminar sign-up information, the Guatemala residency program, and those famous John Galt pre and post seminar trips. Because, you know, it's not just about boots on the ground, it's about quality boots on the ground. Oh, and earlier I was talking about those big Latin mercados, markets. Well, I saw something weird the other day, I had to laugh. Or I should say, you see something weird every time you go. It's a lot of fun, actually. There was this little guy walking around selling all kinds of pharmaceutical stuff. A little mobile pharmacy he was. That's not unusual in itself. In the Mercado, you see dozens of people doing that. I suppose all his penicillin, ampicillin, tetracycline, and yes, Viagra. Hey, so it fell off a truck, right? I mean, really, how else would he be able to sell Viagra for $1 a pill? Not that I'm interested myself, but he had three different kinds of Viagra clones. And another thing, why is it that every time one of these guys sees a gringo, he runs up to him and shows him a box of Viagra? And they say, us gringos profile people. You know, I like to go up to those guys and see just what kind of drugs they have for sale. And I check, wouldn't you know it, the expiration dates. Obviously, these guys are selling a lot of drugs. They have a lot of turnover. You know, they're all in blister packs, which is good, I guess. And I never once saw one past its expiration date. Some way out in the future, 3 or 4 years. Must have fell off a truck very recently. So you got little guys like that selling pharmaceuticals right out in front of real pharmacies and undercutting them by half. So is it legal? Legal is a very nebulous word here in Latin America. Now, really, it can't be legal. I mean, to sell drugs anywhere in any country, you have to be a duly licensed pharmacy, you'd think. But then again, if you look in the classified ad sections of big Latin newspapers, you'll see ads where people and businesses, I guess, are selling all kinds of drugs like that, directly to the public, to whoever answers the ad. I mean, when you think about it, what's a guy living in a regular middle-class or lower-middle-class residential neighborhood doing with 10 cases of clindamycin and 15 cases of Viagra in his garage? And how is it possible he could sell that stuff on OLX.com or in the classified news sections of the papers? How is that legal? Well, it can't be. Even so, there's no enforcement and there's no FDA, so does that piss you off? Does that stuff make you mad? Now, most green gringos, when they get a whiff of what's happening there, they're outraged. They say, it's like the Wild West here. But after a while, they all slowly start singing a different tune. After years of being afraid, harassed, and intimidated by their own government, they realize a toothless government is the way to go. Like, for example, that little guy with the mobile pharmacy. While I was standing there, two beat cops walked right up. And guess what? They stopped, they smiled, they looked at me and said, Buenos dias, because certainly I was the only gringo they'd seen all day, maybe all week. Now imagine if you're in Seattle or Cleveland, walking around hawking a cart full of prescription drugs, or putting an ad in the paper or online. You know, it's unimaginable. That just would never happen. Oh, and the high point of my little meetup with that guy was the fact he was also selling rat poison. Well, you know, I guess in a way rat poison's a drug too, right? But get this, the brand name on the rat poison was The Last Supper. And believe it or not, there was a picture on every package of the famous Last Supper scene. Jesus there at the table with his disciples, and guess what? There's a big old rat at the end of the table begging for food. What a gimmick. You gotta love it. Though I guarantee you won't find any of that stuff for sale around Easter time, because in extremely Christian Latin America, that would be irreverent, bordering on blasphemy. But it's a hoot any other time of the year. All right, now we got an email from Burnaby, something a lot of gringos and expats are interested in. He says, Johnny, in a previous show you mentioned, there are some free online libraries where you can download books. You got any links? Well, Mr. B, glad you brought that up. You see, many years ago when I first got down to Latin America, I ended up on the gringo tourist trail like so many people, Costa Rica in my case. That was before the age of the internet, even dial-up modems here in Latin America. And you know, back then, most gringos and expats, and especially backpackers, always carried reading material with them. And since there was no internet or Kindle or books to download, hotels and hostels on the gringo tourist trail always had a little lending library going in their lobby. And also on the gringo tourist trail, there were many used bookstores. You could sell them your books for maybe $1 apiece, and then they'd sell you theirs for $2 or $3. And believe me, where there were gringos, it was a pretty good business. So what about libraries? Of course, universities and the schools have their libraries, but they're generally not going to have a section with English books. Now, that's not to say they don't have some public libraries, but they're far and few in between, and they're found mostly in the big cities. And they're not lending libraries. You can go in there and read books, but you can't check them out. Well, that's because a long, long time ago, they found out people would check them out and never bring them back. And since care, maintenance, and details are not Latin strong points, books that were returned often came back in bad condition, especially during the rainy season. Which reminds me of a time some years back when I was in a coffee shop sitting next to a university student. I noticed he was writing a term paper in longhand. Didn't even have a computer or keyboard. Anyway, he had some pages spread out on the table, and I noticed a set of driveway chicken footprints. Apparently, this guy's family had chickens in the house. I wonder, you think he lost points for neatness? So anyway, if you were in Latin America years ago before the internet, reading material was in great demand. The only place you could ever find it in quantity or quality was on the gringo tourist trail, in hotels and hostels, and at certain used bookstores. And when you were off the gringo trail, man, pickings were scarce. Which is why back then I'd actually make the occasional jaunt into a tourist area just to check out the bookstores. And to occasionally steal a few books from hotel lending libraries. Come on, don't tell me you've never swiped a book. You've heard me say a number of times that in the Latin culture, people are just not readers. However, they do have bookstores. Mostly, in fact, in high-end malls, because, well, wealthy Latins buy books, though they may not read them. Seems like upscale Latins always have a bookshelf prominently on display, as well as a few coffee table books, even though I'm sure they've never cracked them open. How do I know that? Because I've cracked open a few, and you can tell by the stiffness and the binding when it's been a virgin. In fact, it's sad to say I've only seen Latino and Latina school kids and university students reading books. The only time I've ever seen an adult Latino crack a book was at a beach resort. Even then, that's a pretty rare sight. So even though for most North Americans, reading's a kind of a lost art, Latinos don't read books either, but it's not a lost art. That would imply it's something they lost and once had. But like I said, in medium and upscale malls, they'll always have at least one bookstore. And these days, they even carry a rack or display of first world English bestsellers. Always pretty much last year's bestsellers, and at twice or three times the price you'd pay up in the States. So then, who buys those books in English? Well, it beats me. I've never seen a gringo or an expat go into one of those stores and buy one. Why would they pay $25 or $30 when they could go online and get a Kindle version for $1 or $2, or free from an online library? Though I have spotted a bestseller or near bestseller in English when strolling through a high-end furniture store, you know? Just like in the States, they've got beautiful model rooms to stroll through. Living rooms, dining rooms, kitchens, dens, you know what I mean. So I've seen best-selling books in English set there as props. It's marketing, you know. It's a way of saying our upscale furniture and model rooms are fit for gringos. Am I being too cynical here? Well, I'm telling you, that's exactly what they do. Come down and check it out for yourself. Same thing when you're observing billboards and road signs in upscale Latin neighborhoods. Practically the whole sign will be in Spanish. Why not? Everyone speaks Spanish, and they'll throw a few words of English in there. Kind of confusing, really, because most people have no idea. But to show that that business is kind of, sort of, first worldish. Like, for example, I can't tell you how many real estate billboards I've seen on highways where they point out that the rooms have walking closets. No, not walk-in closets. Walking. W-A-L-K-I-N-G. As if the closet will just get up someday and walk away. At first you think it's a joke, then you realize they're just a bunch of undereducated, superficial fools who are trying way too hard. I mean, this walking closet thing is kind of a contagion. You even see it in real estate magazines and in the paper. And at the same time, gringos who happen to notice those things are laughing out loud, thinking, what a bunch of morons. I mean, come on, how ridiculous is a walking closet? I get it, a closet with artificial intelligence, kind of like a dog that wants to take a walk after dinner. You know what? I want one. All right, enough said about that. You know, it is a fact that most gringos and expats coming down are actual readers. High percentage of them are. You can get books all over the place on the net. iTunes, Amazon, 100 places. Plus, almost all U.S. city libraries have online libraries too. So if you live in Latin America, you need only search the internet for the U.S. city you once lived in or are nearest to, or where your relatives might live, and they'll set you up with a free password and a code to borrow titles. Usually, you have access to a book for around 3 weeks, and if you're not finished, then you have to renew it. And all the free online libraries let you download millions of titles, both brand new and old, as well as movies, documentaries, and audiobooks. Your best bet, before you even come down to Latin America, is to sign up at your local public library for the online version and you're set. As for me, believe it or not, I use the Cleveland Public Library's online library, courtesy of Captain Mango, who hooked me up. And why Cleveland? Well, plausible denial, my friends. Plausible denial. Now, for those of you who still like to hold a processed piece of wood pulp in your hand, that is a real, formerly alive book. Yep, hotels and hostels still have little lending libraries. And when you're on the Gringo Tourist Trail, there are used bookstores, too. But if you're traveling light, ebooks are the way to go. You know, you can put thousands of them on a flash drive.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.